control over the presentation. Yep. So let me briefly introduce to you to who we are and what is our platform from which we draw conclusions and where we take the the experiences from. I'm struggling ever to control the power of the presentation. Again, I'm sorry.
Okay, so maybe let me do it for you, right? Okay, so you just tell me when to change the slides.
So we need to go back. One step back.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. So the mentorship, as we call our methodology, is a mentoring approach for organizations. Mentoring is mostly for business organizations. Mentoring is being spread both through business, but also through health sector, through universities. And there are approaches that are suitable for these environments. With mentorship, we are primarily focusing on business organizations. We were the pioneers of mentoring in Central Eastern Europe. We started our mentoring practice back 10 years ago. We run our own mentoring program dedicated to young entrepreneurs. It's called Youth Business Poland, which is a part of the Youth Business International program launched by the Prince of Wales, Charles. So every year we run about 300 pairs, mentee mentor in that program. We also have a pretty rich implementation base, meaning that we are partnering with big and small organizations, both business-like and NGOs. Mostly the NGOs who get together professionals of certain profession, like, for instance, project managers in Poland, PMI, Project Management Institute. We are running the partner of a mentoring program for them. But also we are compliant with the IMA. This is a little American organization with the big title, International Mentoring Association. But what they have came up with is the standard of actually managing the mentoring program. And we really like the standards and we comply with them. At the end of the day, we want to do things for better. we just want this world to be better. This is our main driver and the main value. So welcome again. And I hope you will enjoy the ride. So let me start by saying, how do we define mentorship? And mentorship, as defined, is a method of supporting people and organizations in achieving their goals, their objectives, based on the natural potential of the mentee and using the knowledge and experience of a mentor. And there are things that are underlined, colored actually, the things that we are in mentoring, we are aiming at achieving some kind of objective, whether or not it's the development objective or it is a business objective. Mentoring needs to be geared towards an objective. Why? Because in order to use and to select a mentor, an appropriate mentor for a candidate mentee, we need to have this connection between what the mentee needs and what the mentor can provide. And if there is no objective in that relationship, it is hard to do. The next thing that is underlined is this is the whole process is based on the natural potential. And it's very interesting, because if there's no potential, it will be difficult to be in a mentoring relationship. In other words, mentoring is not for everyone. For a mentor, usually a person with much greater seniority, to commit his or her time to develop a younger professional, it takes a potential on the other hand, on the other side. If there's no potential, it will be very difficult for a mentor to commit his time and effort. A potential is a big word. Sometimes it's just the drive, just curiosity, just motivation to grow. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Sometimes it's something bigger. And the relationship is using the knowledge and experience of a mentor. It's important in a proper mentoring, as we experience this, the knowledge of a mentor should come from real life work. So this is not the knowledge that has been possessed by reading books or going to conferences, but this knowledge needs to be grounded in the real life experience of a mentor, right? Mostly mentorship is a formal process within organizations, structured in some kind of a way. Mostly it supports the development of talents. And here we have many approaches to who talents in the organizations actually are. In some organizations, everybody is a talent, and in some other organizations, there are only few people that are defined as talents. For instance, for management positions. Mostly, mentorship in organizations requires to build partnership, not only between mentor and mentee, but also with some other stakeholders like HR, like direct bosses, direct superiors, managers. And this is how mentoring in business is different from, for instance, in academia, in universities, where there are no bosses, no HR. There is only both, the relationship is going only two ways. And in most cases, mentoring in organizations is operating in compliance with some standards. So it's not just, let's make a mentoring, let's get people together and try do something. If there is no, if there are no some standards set, if there are no some critical processes defined, then mentoring program will not achieve what it wants to achieve, or it's designed to achieve. Mm-hmm. Now, when we think of mentorship, we tend to think of this individual relationship between the mentee and the mentor, and the biggest value that it's located in this relationship. But in fact, the applications, so to speak, the impact of mentoring in organization is much wider. One of the things that is taking people by surprise when they implement mentoring is that the mentoring program helps to build the culture that respects knowledge and seniority. In other words, it's similar to the feeling once you get consciousness of oxygen in the air. So everybody is breathing, and everybody is using the oxygen, but not all of the people know that the oxygen is actually there. And in the and the mentoring helps organization to get conscious of that, yes, there is knowledge that is our capital as the organization. And yes, there are people that possess the knowledge, hence seniority. Often in a lot of cases, at the end of the mentoring process, this culture of respecting seniority and knowledge is much stronger than it was at the start. The second thing that is not maybe that does not come to mind when we think of mentoring is that mentoring can also help teams of people to their decision making, to their problem solving. So it does not have to be one-on-one relationship, not at all. It also helps to formulate and propagate expertise and good practice. So mentoring is often being part of some kind of knowledge management system And it's either the mentoring program either initiate the thinking in the organization of what do we actually know and how do we store and care about our know-how, or it can source in the knowledge that is already being somehow formulated within organizations. A very interesting application of mentoring is also mentoring skills for managers. You know, most of the managers, they will serve their teams and organizations by their experience. But many people in the management role, they use this experience in a pretty random way, kind of non-professional way. And by educating managers about how to best serve organizations with the knowledge, with their knowledge, is really an interesting place to look at. Cross mentoring as a subject, very shortly, the mentoring applied between organizations. So you can imagine a partnership of 3-4 organizations that are dedicated to have some mentoring program, and they exchange mentors between them. And very interesting, especially in current times, application of reverse mentoring, which is in fact involving young people to be mentors for more senior people. For instance, about the digital reality, the culture shift that is happening right in front of our eyes, things like this. And we have been successfully launching one program in Poland specifically dedicated to reverse mentoring with quite substantial, remarkable results. Mm-hmm. Can we go further? Thank you. Now, a piece of technology, as we call it, we have the mentorship framework that has 4 cornerstones. This is the one cornerstone. So this is part of the model. And this part of the model is describing what kind of role and also the skills the mentor should have and what kind of role the mentor is actually playing. So the role number one is catalyzing, which is about mobilizing the participants to create his or her own solutions based on already existing competencies and resources. So it's pretty much similar to coaching, but we don't use the name here, not to make any confusion. But the role of a mentor is to just catalyze the thinking and decision making and the consciousness and responsibility of a mentee. And this is what mentees are coming for. And this is what they are asking for of their mentors. The second thing is giving opinions. So making comments on participants' proposal, sharing my own judgment, convictions, and opinions. And you can look at it in a way that it can be done in a soft way, like, okay, you know, I think it might be helpful for you, please consider. Or it can be much more kind of, how should I say, precise and direct. So when you come to me with the presentation that you are going to show to your president or to your client, I evaluate this presentation in the following way. The criteria number 1, 2, 3, and on the scale from 1 to 10, you evaluated such and such. And there will be cases when actually the mentee will ask for it and will need it, this evaluation in a kind of rigid and structured way. Then we have advising, which is making proposals. So giving opinions was about evaluating. Advising is about giving proposals what to do, yeah? Or sharing possibilities to solve the problem based on the knowledge and experience of a mentor. And again, the advice can be soft and hard. So two sides of the spectrum. In soft way, it will be, you know, please consider doing this and this. And in a hard way, it will be go and do it and come when you do it, because if you don't do it, you will not know what I'm talking about, right? Even to the point of giving instructions, so to speak. And the fourth role is strengthening. And this is a role kind of from a different basket. It's coming from the fact that there is a difference between in seniority between the mentee and the mentor, and therefore the mentee will always look up to the mentor. So the mentor's role is at the interpersonal level to support, to be supportive, to be encouraging, to be strengthening the mentee by his personal example. In other words, when we are a manager and we have our own people, and we will move our eyebrows when they say something, it will have less of an impact than when we are the same people talking with our mentees. When we raise our eyebrow, they will notice this move much stronger. So this is an area to be conscious of and to remember about. Now, shortly, the process, this is an example of the process. So we have a preparation. We have met cases that the preparation was 3, even sometimes four months, because there are lots of things to prepare. There is needs analysis of participants. There is designing mentoring program framework. There is preparing communication. Lots of things to be taken into the account. Then the actual kickoff, the communication, both for the mentors, both for the mentees, but also for supervisors to the rest of the organization. So for instance, people that are not invited don't feel excluded, but it's transparent to everyone. Then we train mentors, both mentors and mentees. We need to get them ready. And you know, for a lot of people, training mentors is an obvious thing. Well, training mentees about what? And this is a very interesting area, because one, you can help your mentees to be better, more conscious of how they can benefit from a mentoring relationship. So for instance, you can learn them to ask proper questions to the mentors, or you can help them to identify what do they really need going into a mentoring session, or entering the mentoring program in more, much wider sense of the word. But also, mentees need to hear in these training programs what are the terms and conditions. So for instance, what happens if I don't like my mentor, or what happens if my mentor is too direct? Can I change the mentor? Is it allowed? Is it expected for me? What happens if the issues that I'm bringing in at some point do not match what the mentor is actually having available? So these sort of things internally, also there is this big question of confidentiality, about losing face. And a lot of mentees are coming to the programs with a limited faith and trust to the actual confidentiality. In other words, they expect subconsciously under the skin that, of course, this is a mentoring program, but it will have an impact on their career. So if they perform, they will be better positioned. And if they don't perform, it will have a negative impact, which is apparently true. But there's a need just to talk about it and to make it clear and explain it to everybody. That's why the time for training mentees or inducting the mentees to the program is crucial. And then there's this whole matching exercise, and some of you that already have mentoring experience, you know how easy or difficult that can be. There are many ways of in which this can be done, but at the end of the day, the outcome of this part of the process is that that both the needs of the mentees and the supply or offer from the mentors get matched. And then the program starts running. Various ways of monitoring the progress, monitoring the stages. And then the finale, the summary of the program, the evaluation, the lesson learned, the plans for the future, and so on and so forth. Because in many, many organizations, once the mentoring is being launched, the expectation is that it will continue. So it's good to know at the very beginning about that, and then in the evaluation phase, take all the lessons that you can that you can take from whatever way you have decided to take. Mm-hmm. Can I have another slide?
Yeah. Pavel, so while you are going into the details of the examples, can you also say a few words about the benefits of, in case of those institutions, organizations, what are the benefits of the mentoring program?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the question. I didn't, I actually have this question in front of me, but I didn't pay attention. So sorry for that.
It's more my role to manage the question, so no worries.
So thank you, Eranda. Yeah, is this the right way of saying it?
Yeah. Eranda,
thank you for the question. So this is an this is one of our examples. We are talking about one of the largest Polish banking institution, part of the Santander Group. Santander is a big Spanish banking player. And in that program, the mentees were future managers, so people with potential of being upgraded, promoted, people either nominated by their bosses as their successors or just found or discovered by the organizations as talents, as potentials. The mentors were all senior managers, including the board or starting from the board. In fact, the mentor number one used to be the president of the bank, and he commits his time, and this is more or less 4 up to 6 hours every month for that mentoring program. Some of the management board members and a lot of directors and their deputies, the program is being organized in circles of 1 year. And the number of pairs, not participants, please notice, number of pairs is 120 per year, okay? And they do it every 10, and they do it almost every year, already 10th time or 11th time this year. Answering your question at the general level, this is the comment from the HR director. And the comment is, there's no money we can pay or we can buy impact of mentoring in our organization. In other words, there are no consultancy fees that we can pay to get the knowledge and experience that only our directors, only our senior people have. In other words, these people know the story of the company, the story of how the products were developed, the story of how the processes were defined, the systems were put in place. They also know the culture, what is warmly welcomed, what is absolutely not. And for the young people entering the management leadership role, this is absolutely crucial. So they know the story, where the company came from, where it is right now, and what is ahead of them. So this is one of the values that this program is brought to the table. The other comment that I didn't put into the presentation was the comment from one of the members of the board. And at some moment he came up to us and said, you know, can't we have maybe 3-4 people at the same time coming to a mentoring session? And the question, out of curiosity, we've asked, so why do you want more? Why one person at the time is not kind of sufficient? And he said, you know, the truth of the matter is that I learn from them hell a lot about what is the reality of the organization. So I'm getting the information about what is the reality of my organization that I'm leading. And so if there would be 3 or 4 of them, I would learn more. So this is that was the motive, and for a lot of people it's really the case. The other thing is that a lot of these senior people, they learn the ways that the newcomers, people from as simple as that. And in addition to this, Sometimes, not in that case, but sometimes in the mentoring programs run in the organizations, one of the objectives that is explicitly defined is the development of the mentors themselves. What do I mean by this? Is that when you can imagine the mentee and the mentor, and the mentor is the businessman, is the senior manager or senior leader in the organization. And this senior leader usually manages having the authority tools in his hand, meaning the stick or the carrot, right? So he can have a direct influence over the person. Now, in the mentoring role is something fundamentally different. There is no carrot and there is no stick, so to speak. And still the mentor is motivated and committed to deliver some kind of the results. He wants to bring some value. He wants to have some impact on the person. And for a lot of mentors, this is what they get out of the mentoring relationship. They learn how to make an impact in a non-structured and non-authoritarian way. So it's a leadership development, so to speak, as a result as well. In that particular case, mentoring is also being used for project teams. So when the project is above certain amounts, some certain budget, a project manager or project leader is being proposed to take advantage or use mentor to de-risk. This is the very often repeated statement in mentoring world, de-risking factor. So in order to de-risk the project itself. And maybe the last thing from the benefits, there is this, it's not the case of this project, but there is this peer-to-peer mentoring or peer-to-peer support. And in some organizations, it's a kind of a risky type of mentoring to launch and to apply. But there is a way to build programs where people support each other in a kind of social media type of way. So building groups of interests, where people can ask questions and they can get support from mentors, from experts that are not necessarily being tagged as mentors, but they are just there and they are just helping each other. It's on the edge of mentoring, but in some sales organizations where there is enough openness and collaboration in culture, this might happen. Can we have another slide, Eva, please? this is another example. This is the program run for startup catalyst, business catalyst. The mentees are young entrepreneurs. The mentors are experienced business or corporate managers. The length here is shorter, only 6 months. The number of pairs per year, 300, so it's a pretty large program. However, the same program in China in the first year of their operation had 1,200 people. Oh, no, sorry, 12,000 people in just first year. So we are not talking about the scale here, really. And this is the eighth edition since 2008. And the main driver, and the main value from this program is the development of the mentees, of the entrepreneurs, of course, helping them to create their strategies, plans, decisions, and so on, but also de-risking the investment that is being made by either public money or some investors. A lot of investment funds are sending their, how should I say, beneficiaries, right, to this program in order to de-risk their investment. An interesting thing from this example is that people can make the program longer. So when they finish the program after 6 months, they can reapply. There is some kind of contest, so you don't just get it as because you came and you came into the show and you are just willing to participate. You need to apply. You need to present either the business case or an idea. And interestingly enough, the program is growing every year. So there are more and more people coming to the program. The mentoring is being more and more recognized as possibly number one development tool in the area of startups. I'm speaking about Poland right now. I don't know how this refers to your countries. Mm-hmm. And if we can have the last slide, it will be kind of a nice, how should I say, framework over this presentation is a bonus with the word gratitude. What do I mean by this? A lot of mentoring participants, mentees, they know they get something really substantial as part of mentoring program. And they know they did not deserve it. In a way, they didn't earn it, right? They did not win the contest and get it as a prize. And even if it's done as a contest, they know that the value they got is much, much bigger than they could get, and they know they did not pay for it. Yeah, because there would be no way that they could afford it. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, what you get at the end of the mentoring processes, programs, very often is the situation where these people are just feeling grateful for what they got. They are just grateful for the experience. Okay. So to give you an example, every year in this mentoring program of our own, we have the closing. We call it a thank you event. And at our last thank you event, we had three entrepreneurs presenting their cases, and they were saying how many people they have employed, how many products they've launched, what were the revenues, and so on and so forth. And in each of the presentations, we were not advising them to do it. They just did it the way they wanted it. In every of these presentations, there was this corporate social responsibility element attached, meaning that they were naturally prompt to give it back to the society. So there was this man who had the language school, English language school, and he, with his teachers, he was offering English classes to some underprivileged children. And there was some other lady who had some consultancy boutique, and she was offering consultancy to some people in need. So you won't be able to read it in the books about mentoring, but this is a great place to be, mm-hmm. Making a better world, helping the businesses to grow, but also helping people to grow.
That's where you fit into microfinance with making the world better, really. The key, before I open for questions, the key messages from what you said, Paweł, and thank you so much for this, is really that mentoring helps to really source the experience and expertise inside of the company, saving a lot on consultancy fees, but also really helps to not only develop mentees, but to also develop this management style of the mentors, right? The third message, that it really gives this additional drive and satisfaction from what people do. Let me open for more questions now. So if you have any specific questions, please unmute yourself or type your question in the chat box. Because I have a list of questions based on what you said, but let me just give priority to participants. The question is, do you have recommendations for mentoring of startup teams, how to approach them? Svetlana, do you mean startup teams, like the new teams inside of the company, or startup teams meaning the companies, the entrepreneurs? Let me just clarify this. Okay, so we are talking about young entrepreneurs, right? These startups, and how to approach mentoring of startups.
Yeah, this is a very specific question. Thank you, Svetlana. And I have a difficulty to answer. I will just explain in short why I have a difficulty. Because we have done as the organization about 12,000 mentoring hours for startups. And to answer this question in like few words is really an impossible task to do. However, the lesson number one that we have taken from working with starting entrepreneurs is to divide the agenda, the development agenda, into two categories. So there is the category of developing the entrepreneur, the business as such, the organization, and there is yet another agenda, which is the development of an entrepreneur, him or herself. Okay? Because these two realities do not match. The business will have its own needs and priorities, and the person or people that are building this business will have their own objectives and priorities. An example, the company might be willing to, might need, might have a need to structure the pricing policy, for instance, and at the same time, the team of people or the person who is managing, launching the business, he or she will have a need to be more assertive. For instance, I'm just putting this kind of quite way out. So this is the thing to consider. In the mentoring program, you can actually address these needs in two kind of separate channels, so to speak. So we have run the mentoring program that was addressing the business need separate, and the personal development or management development needs separate. This was a very, very good practice. The other thing is that a lot of these people will have similar needs. So they will have a need of defining a client, defining a sales channel, for instance. And in such a circumstances, naturally, mentoring programs can address this need not on one-on-one basis, but one-on-team, one-on-many basis. It takes some organization, but it's a good practice. What kind of model? Business canvas is pretty well spread. That's true. We have no preferred framework, really. My personal experience is prompting me to this, I don't know the title, but this is the MIT model of 24 steps. This is what I prefer the most. However, in the mentoring relationship, the main driver or the main source of value is not the framework of Canvas or MIT, is the actual experience, the real-time experience of a mentee.
Okay, very good. Next questions. Next question. How about compensation for the mentor within the organization, right? So we are talking, okay, I guess we are talking about internal mentors. So are they compensated for what they do, or it's just... the compensation is personal satisfaction.
Thank you for the question. This is a great question. Yeah, and I will answer it in a tricky way, you know. First, yes, it's true, mentors need to be compensated. Absolutely. If you want to keep their commitment, if you want them, not only time-wise, that they come, they show up, and they dedicate their time, but also with their hearts, if you want them to get engaged to the work, to the role, you need to compensate them in some kind of a way. They need to be recognized. They need to be cared. Mentors are virtual, is a virtual resource. They have no boss who will tell them good job. They will not, they don't have, you know, monitoring of KPIs that they will able to see, you know, I'm doing good or bad. And therefore, there is a role to be played in the organization to praise, to thank, to be grateful for them for whatever they do. And in that way, yes, they definitely need it. So it's sometimes it's just a simple thing of a call once a month where one of the board members will come at the beginning and say, well, I thank you for your contribution. It's important for us, things like this. So from the social perspective, I mean, this is the source of recognition that you definitely see, that you definitely must be taking into the account. The point number two is the quality of the mentees. A mentor will commit to a mentoring relationship when it's worth it. Okay? And this is the way in which you compensate their effort. You are bringing to the table the best people that you have. And you are really committed to get these best people to them. You know, and there is a temptation. So for instance, we've assumed that there will be 20 participants, but we only have 12 talents, let's say, okay? And there is this temptation of, okay, so who else do we have? Not a good strategy. You need to have mentees, especially when you launch mentoring program, that are really eager to learn. They are ready to be stretched, ready to be challenged, and ready to take all the things that happens on the mentoring call to the practice. So the next time we meet, a mentor will see that something has changed in this person, that this person has done something with it. And it was not just a chit chat, you know, over the coffee. So this is a tricky way of answering it. And there's another, yet another way. No, I did not see any organization that is paying for mentors to be mentors. So if your question was about compensation in real money, no, I haven't seen it. And I also don't recommend it. Because, you know, when the mentors feel any kind of pressure from the business, they stop being mentors and they start being managers. As simple as that. So if there's money to be earned, or if there's too great responsibility on the shoulder or eagerness, they stop being mentors and they start being managers. In other words, just one sentence, I can see, Eva, that you wanted to comment on something. Just one little thing. So you can imagine that mentoring programs will have some objectives, you know. And with objectives, we need to be careful, because if the objectives are too specific and too close to the business, then as a consequence, some mentors will be dragged into, okay, I feel responsible for it. I want to get it. I want to achieve it. And then they get too close, and being too close, they will find it difficult to be mentors. Mm-hmm. So the same thing with compensation. Money-wise, no, I didn't see it happening, and I don't advise it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really extremely surprising and interesting for me what you said, that actually the mentor needs to mentor really a talent in the organization, because otherwise, so the mentee needs to be really talented and delivering on the change that is expected, or changing something, because otherwise, this is what keeps the mentor motivated really to do a mentoring. So this is really something I haven't been thinking about before. The next question, is there a mentoring methodology available? So how to do mentoring then? Are there guidelines?
Yes, there are guidelines, definitely. Interestingly enough, when you go to the bookstore and you want to buy some coaching book, you will have like many of them, I don't know, tens of them. And when it comes to the mentoring, even though the history and tradition of mentoring is rooted even in ancient times, then there's not much of it. However, I highly recommend you googling International Mentoring Association, and if not, I can also provide it to Eva so she can distribute it to everybody interested. They came up with standards for running and managing mentoring programs within the organization. It's very, very valuable. I highly recommend you getting acquired with this. But when it comes to, for instance, the management, the mentoring skills, there is not much, to be honest. In most cases, the mentoring is being is taking the know-how from the world of coaching or some counseling, but this is not really kind of one-on-one matching. So no, there is not much. I can recommend our model. We have put into this model 10 years of our last years of our experience. It's very practical. It's very doable, both for mentors and for managing the mentoring programs. So if Eva is okay with it, I can distribute it to you, and you can have another additional source of inspiration.
Okay, we have last few minutes on this webinar. So let me, if you have some more questions. Okay, here we go, another question. Based on the previous experience in banks, what areas of mentoring have shown as the best for applying mentoring methodology?
You know, mentoring is best applied when there is a serious need, when there is a business case, when there is something in the organization that really needs attention.
In case of challenges, pardon? Problems?
It can be a challenge of some kind. It can be some future that the organization want to produce ahead of them. In practical terms, management development, very often leadership development, talent development, but also projects. So helping people working on projects. If you are familiar with the agile type of realities, very often so-called agile coach is actually a agile mentor, partially, even though is he or she is not called this way. IT, very much so, as in large organizations, yes, when the IT is crucial and substantially big, then sharing experiences within the IT departments, it's very often applied. Sales departments as well. However, I would say salespeople are kind of impatient, and they are looking rather for more quick fix solutions than mentoring, where you need some patience for a mentee to grow. So these areas. I don't know if I replied to your question.
Mm-hmm. Pavel, like, exactly, like how talking about sales, right? And talking about microfinance organizations and loan officers, their branch managers, meaning the manager of a smaller team of loan officer, salespeople of the organization, and then what kind of how they can use mentoring?
In practical terms, there are mostly two ways. One way is to have this so-called peer mentoring between more advanced, more experienced loan managers and the ones that are that have less of this experience in a structured way. So actually identifying who the less experienced, the possibly newcomers are, and connecting them together, but not in a way that, okay, this is a man who will just support you, who will guide you through, who will make induction to you, but this is going to be a mentoring relationship. So you as a mentee, you are expected to know your subject when you come to the meeting, know your name of the game, in order to benefit from it. And the other area is supporting the managers of loan officers, yeah, in their management, the way they manage both teams, changes when they apply, projects when it happens, things like this.
Very last question on my end. What is the value added of a structured mentoring between, say, senior loan officer and newcomer? Because in MFIs, you have a lot of this hands-on, the experience training, but what is the value added of putting it into the structure of mentoring?
It's a long question, and we are 3 minutes to go.
One advantage.
You know, all in all, our experience is that if the program is not structured, what does it mean? It often means that there is no person responsible to keep it running, to spin it, to give it energy, to monitor where the program is. It's just being spread all over the place. And so nobody knows who the mentor is, how to apply, what are the rules. And then oftentimes when this program, when mentoring is not being managed, after 3-6 months, it just goes down lower, and at some moment it just disappears. This is the experience. Lack of clarity, transparency in roles, in expectations, you know, creates a situation where they, where gradually, step by step, month after month, the mentoring program diminishes, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Paweł, thank you really so much for sharing your experience and providing us with those practical examples. Thank you all for participation, asking questions. Yes, and let's see, we are, let me just say that at MFC we are getting ready to continue next year our work on coaching and mentoring. So stay tuned, and if you have any suggestions on how we should shape the program in the next year, you are more than welcome to contact me to let me know your feedback and your ideas for the next year activities. With this, once again, thank you so much for participation. We are going to share this recording and presentations online. So simply stay tuned, follow us on Facebook and our webpage. And thank you so much for participation, Paweł. Once again, thank you. And we are, of course, in touch.
Thank you.